Welcome to the Nintendo Fusion Podcast, a podcast that fuses past, present, and future Nintendo thought. I'm David, accompanied by my friend, Jordan.
This week, we're talking about the Game Boy and what we would like to see from a Game Boy emulator on the Switch. And this is because a few weeks ago, some files were leaked that include a Nintendo-developed GBA emulator and Game Boy emulator on the Switch.
Yeah, they were really large leaks, too. Well, I say large mostly because this is something that we've never really seen Nintendo do before, you know, this Game Boy emulation beyond the 3DS. But there was a lot of really cool stuff inside as well to kind of give us some insight on what we could potentially see from Nintendo's NSO expansion for the Game Boy / Game Boy Advance, or both. What's really interesting is the Game Boy Advance emulator was codenamed Sloop, which, if you don't know what a sloop is, that's apparently another name for a type of boat in English. So, weird name. And then the Game Boy emulator was codenamed Hiyoko, which is apparently really close to some of the other emulation tools and emulators developed by Nintendo of Europe's Nintendo European Research and Development Team, or NERD. It's a great acronym. But this team was also responsible for emulation for the classic mini consoles, if you remember those from a few years back, as well as the Nintendo 64, GameCube, and Wii emulation that's used, especially in Mario 3D All-Stars. So they're not new to the game. Beyond that, there was some really interesting stuff inside the Game Boy emulators themselves. The Game Boy emulator build is from March 2019. Which that's now 3 years ago and a couple of months. So pre-pandemic, but also 3 years ago, which gives a lot of time for more development. It has some cool stuff baked into the emulation, like the different Game Boy screens, like if you wanted to emulate what the original Game Boy looked like, what the Game Boy Pocket looked like, or even the Game Boy Color, which also included some cool ghosting effects based on the original screens to kind of capture the original feel. It can also emulate the Game Boy Advance's Game Boy Color mode, which did some of that palette addition and swapping or adding new features to some Game Boy Color games right within the Game Boy Advance. It also has all of the code set up to emulate the Memory Bank controller for Kirby Tilt and Tumble, which is ridiculous because I don't know if fans have even figured out how to fully do all of that. So cool. I'm sure that'll work with the Joy-Con. Motion stuff, as well as the ability to locally emulate two Game Boy or Game Boy Color consoles locally for link cable support so that you can play local multiplayer on the same screen, which, wow, that's pretty awesome. And then it also has stuff for net play and a lot of robust features so that, you know, it's just a ready-to-go Game Boy emulator. It basically doesn't correspond to any Game Boy emulators that you can find online right now, so it's really unique and honestly, I think that makes it far more authentic that this is an actual leak from the Nintendo research team. Anyway, I know that was a lot of features, Jordan. Was there anything that really like caught your eye or anything from what I just talked about?
Well, of course, we need a multiplayer to be there because that's a big reason for Nintendo pushing these to be on the Nintendo Switch Online. Like, these are supposed to be features to sell Nintendo Online to people, and so there has to be online features for them. I'm really hoping that if we do get Pokemon, that we kind of have some sort of World Trade Center for Pokemon games.
Yeah, I think that'd be really cool. Though I don't know if they would implement that on the Game Boy emulation side. I'm sure they'd add in support with Pokemon Home or something so that you can kind of transfer the Pokemon around like you could in Bank. Though that kind of makes me worry that it might be a one-way thing, kind of like PokeTransporter was. So,
honestly, that's fine, but you still need some sort of trading between games. Otherwise, you can't. There's a lot of trade-only Pokemon in the original games.
Right, plus the version exclusives. So if you want to finish your Pokédex in those games, you have to. But I do think it's a really good opportunity for Pokemon as well. Lots of cool Pokemon games. But anyway, so that's kind of the Game Boy emulator. The Game Boy Advance emulator has a couple of other really cool features on top of it. It is its own secondary build. Or I guess secondary application, it's its own thing rather than being rolled up into a single emulator. It has a couple of really nice emulation changes to like fix gamma correction for some of the super bright colors that were on the Game Boy Advance. It also has LCD persistence emulation so that it can add in the ghosting effects from the LCD screen on the Game Boy Advance. Some games actually use that ghosting for different transparency effects, which is really cool. It can also do the local emulation for two Game Boy Advance systems for local multiplayer. And it also has net play with random matchmaking. So pretty cool. Along with that, they also have a bunch of Nintendo-made quality assurance applications to test it. And they're even using some fan-made ones to test colors and memory layout to make sure that it's an authentic Game Boy experience, which it's really cool to see Nintendo research and development teams actually trying to make it as accurate as possible, considering the mess that is the N64 emulator. Right, Jordan?
Yeah. Although it's interesting that these apparently were ready around 2019. Like that was the last build, at least from the leak, correct?
Yes.
So,
yeah. Well, at least for the Game Boy Color one. We're not sure about the Game Boy Advance one, as far as I could tell. But yeah, it's likely they're both from 2019, given the development state that they're in as well.
Yeah. So hopefully they've ironed out a lot of the kinks so that it works properly, because this isn't the same team that did the N64 emulator, is it?
I'm not 100% sure, because what I could see is Nerd had done the N64 emulation for 3D All-Stars. And I remember hearing that same emulator, or at least parts of it, were also used for the NSO. But also, it could be a different team. I don't know. It's honestly hard for me to say. I'd have to do more research into that. And even then, I don't know if it's like official information out there.
Now, in defense of the N64 emulator, the N64 is notorious for being really difficult to emulate. Like, I've never even seen a fan emulator get it 100% right. Almost every game has some sort of like graphical issues on every emulator I've ever seen for the N64. So it's not too surprising that Nintendo would also get it wrong. But it is a bit disappointing.
Yeah. And I mean, one other thing that fans point out about that is it would be, if anyone could get it right, it would be Nintendo, because they have all of the internal documentation for the N64. But that was also like 30 years ago. So who knows what they have. Though we also know Nintendo is really good at keeping records. So anyway, just putting that out there as well. But yes, it is notoriously difficult. But it's exciting to see a Game Boy Advance emulator, because we didn't get a ton of games on the last generation of consoles from these systems, and it'd be really cool to see them on Switch, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of games for the Game Boy I really want to see on Switch, largely just because I would like to see a lot of games be kind of preserved. It's really difficult to play some of these games because most of these cartridges had batteries internally in them for saves, and so now the most Game Boy games are defunct unless if you like replace the battery yourself. And Nintendo hasn't like made a lot of these games easy to play in other methods. Like some of them they locked behind an ambassador program on the 3DS.
Yeah, that was all of the Game Boy Advance games, really. Like they only released Game Boy and Game Boy Color games on the 3DS to the general public. So,
and then the other thing I would like to see is I really like it when Nintendo goes the extra mile with some of these games and translates games that we've never gotten in the West, largely because maybe they wouldn't have like worked in the market at the time back then, but they would be fine now. For example, Fire Emblem, Roy's game never came out to the West, but it would be absolutely great to have Roy's game finally available to us, especially since people know who Roy is now and would pick it up just for that.
Yeah, exactly. And same with, you know, one of our other favorites to talk about, like Mother 3, you know.
Yeah, Mother 3 is the big one. Oh, man.
We can talk about those a little bit more in depth, right?
Yeah. Well, there'll be a section for Mother 3s coming up.
But yeah, don't you worry. We're ready for that. I did want to point out that there were only 4 games included with the Game Boy emulator. I imagine that just for testing purposes. And the state of the build was kind of bad. Each of the games had to be separately compiled into the emulator for them to work on the Switch, apparently. So we only know for sure of Link's Awakening, Quix, and Tetris. And there was a 4th one. I apparently didn't write that down. I don't remember what it was. So I think it was one of the Mario games, but I might be mistaken. Either way, only 4 for the Game Boy. And then there was a much longer list for the Game Boy Advance. I won't list all of those. There are too many. But there are some really interesting, notable games that we'll talk about separately that are included in that Game Boy list In a moment here. Though, do note that from this leak, there are a lot of games listed, and it's possible that not all of them will make it. In fact, it's highly likely, especially considering, like, there was a leak for games that were going to be on the NES, Nintendo Switch Online, and a lot of them didn't actually make it, so, and still haven't.
I don't understand why Nintendo doesn't just dump all the games that they own publishing rights for.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Like, I can understand that they have to, like, work with, say, the Mega Man games or the Sonic games or the Castlevania games, but there's no reason for them not to put every Metroid and Zelda game on the service.
No, absolutely not, because they own those games and everyone wants to play them. We talked about this in our Metroid game, or our Metroid episode, our very first episode of the podcast, and our Metroid Prime episode, where it's like a lot of fans want to play these older games. Metroid Fusion and Metroid Zero Mission were Game Boy Advance games, and there's no other way to play them except the Wii U, I guess.
Yeah, they're on the Wii U. The Wii U is like the golden place to play Metroid games other than the PC. But that's the thing, though. Like, Nintendo needs to make these games available so that people can actually play them in, like, legitimate areas.
I know. They're so worried about the emulation scene, it seems. You know, shutting down sites left and right that host the ROMs and stuff.
Yeah, but if they don't provide an alternative service, like, I don't have any sympathy for them. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but anyway, we're not here to talk about emulation that's in a non-official capacity. So, well, why don't we go ahead and talk about some of our favorite games for the consoles and what we'd like to see hit the Game Boy Advance and Game Boy services. We have quite a good list, I think.
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised with how long this list was, because it never felt like I was that big of a fan of the Game Boy games. I was always more of a console gamer. The handheld felt like kind of a compromise that, oh, I'm going to be gone for a while and I would like to play a game.
Yeah.
But there actually were quite a few games. I mean, like, we're talking about a 20-year span of history. So, because we're combining both the Game Boy and the Game Boy Advance. And I think almost all of our games are from the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
So, starting off, the Zelda, we'll go by, like, franchises, because basically every Nintendo franchise is on the Game Boys. And so we'll start off with the Zelda games, which there are four of them. Link's Awakening, Minish Cap, and then the two Oracle games, Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons. Luckily, Minish Cap is on this list, it looks like, which is my favorite of the games on the Game Boy.
Yeah, it's a very good Zelda game.
Which, all these except for Link's Awakening, I believe, were made by Capcom. So there might be some licensing things going on there. But, like, Minish Cap was one of the ones that would have been difficult to get. So, and that one's here. So where's Link's Awakening? Link's Awakening might not make it just because there's the remake on the Switch already.
Well, Link's Awakening was in the Game Boy list, not in the Game Boy Advance.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Oh. It was one of the only four games from the
games. Okay.
Yeah.
So, oh, all right. So, yeah, so it's just the Oracles that are missing, which I'd rather have them here than Link's Awakening, because we already have Link's Awakening on the Switch.
Well, and Link's Awakening on the Switch is a super faithful recreation of the game.
Yeah. You're getting the same thing.
Literally, tile for tile the same. But oh, I totally agree. You know, we're big Zelda fans here. I don't know if that's been made obvious to our listeners before. You know, we talk about Metroid all the time, but Zelda is definitely another one of our shared favorites of Nintendo. And yeah, I would really love to see these games, especially the Oracle games. They're the ones that I'm the least familiar with. I've played through them before, but they never really stuck out to me as Zelda adventures because they're not, well, I wouldn't say they're not canon. They're just not, they're not Hyrule canon. They take place in a different land.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Oracle just kind of got lost in the shuffle between Ocarina and Majora's.
Right, because they came out around the same time, like the same time period anyway.
Yeah.
The Oracle games have some really cool mechanics. Like, the time traveling mechanic in Ages is really cool because it actually changes the state of the world, kind of like Ocarina of Time did, but I would say maybe even more so because they had more freedom to do that in a 2D environment. And then the season changes are also really interesting in the Oracle games. And, you know, we talked about how maybe in Breath of the Wild 2, there might be some time travel and stuff. And the Oracle games really help solidify that that's not a new thing for the Zelda series.
Yeah, well, every Zelda game in the late 90s was based around time travel.
Yep. I think Minish Cap is one of the best Zelda games, or best 2D Zelda games. I mean, there's not a ton, I guess. Just these four games we've already talked about, and the original and A Link to the Past. But Minish Cap has some really great character. It has a lot more dialogue than Link to the Past does. And honestly, the art style is just really cute. And I really like the super young Hyrule that it portrays, since it's one of the earlier games in the timeline. I'd definitely love to see it on the Game Boy Advance library, for sure.
So speaking of Link to the Past, it completely slipped my mind, but there was a port of Link to the Past to the Game Boy Advance.
Oh, yeah, there was.
And it came with Four Swords, which would work really well with the Switch Online's concept of our paradigm of needing multiplayer functions.
Yeah, you're right. The 3DS also had that limited time release of Four Swords.
Yeah, that was how I played through it. Like when I was a kid, I did have Four Swords, but I had no friends that had Four Swords and I didn't have a leaking cable. So it didn't mean anything because I don't think you could play it on your own.
No, you have to have the multiplayer experience. The game just doesn't work otherwise.
Yeah. So I think it would be pretty neat, even if we didn't get Link to the Past. Well, just port the thing over. If you have multiplayer working, it's not that hard to load a ROM file onto an emulator.
No. I mean, in the like hacking community, fans have very easily extended the NES and NES, N64 and SNES libraries on NSO with their hack switches. It's just like a matter of editing a single manifest file, putting in ROM somewhere that is pointed to in the manifest file, and then also including a box art image. Like, there's no excuse for Nintendo to not include a lot of games because it's really easy.
If they own the publishing rights, it should be here. I don't understand Nintendo, but whatever. I guess they're trying to make like some sort of trickle system to try and get people to keep thinking that they're getting a value. But instead, I jump on the day it comes out. I'm like, where's all the games? And then jump out.
Yeah, exactly. It should be more of a service rather than something that we have to watch updates for, because NSO is supposed to be a service.
Yeah. But speaking of Metroid from earlier, there were quite a few Metroid games on the Game Boys. Metroid 2, which if you're doing a Game Boy emulator, I think this is one of the bigger Game Boy games to add.
It hasn't been out like anywhere beyond the Game Boy.
Well, it was on the 3DS, I believe. I remember playing it a lot on the 3DS.
Oh, okay.
And Metroid 2 is pretty rough, but I think it's good to have just for like historical sake.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Zero Mission and Fusion are the big ones, especially since last I looked, Fusion was like creeping up to $100 on eBay for like games without batteries in them.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And the only ways to play these are either be an ambassador on the 3DS, sorry, it's too late, or have it on the Wii U, which they're shutting down the eShop, I believe, right?
Yeah, next year.
So, but both these games were in that list, I believe, for the Game Boy Advance emulator.
Yes.
So I guess there's not too much to be concerned. It would have been nice to get these before Dread came out, but Nintendo doesn't have a lot of foresight.
No. I think they would have had more success with Dread if they had these games out, because at least people would sit and play through a few minutes of them at the very least.
Especially Fusion, because Dread, going into Dread, we knew that it was pretty heavily based off of Fusion. Like,
right.
It definitely
we knew
was
it was the sequel to Fusion.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people who wanted to play through Fusion before Dread, but Nintendo didn't give us a way to do it.
Nope, definitely not. They can't be bothered. So anyway, that's Metroid, I guess. We talked about Metroid so much, and I would absolutely love to see them.
Oh, man. I kind of want... Have you heard about the Metroid Prime D-make going on?
D-make? Like a fan project?
Or Metroid Dread D-make? I think it was Dread D-make, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, fans are turning Metroid Dread into a Game Boy Advance game.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
I don't think it's being made in the same format as a Game Boy Advance ROM, but if it was, it'd be pretty cool to load it onto the emulator on the Switch.
That gives me very much another Metroid 2 remake vibes. Do you remember that? That's cool.
So moving on, there was a bunch of Mario games that came out. The only ones that we really listed were Mario vs. Donkey Kong on the Game Boy, which is surprisingly very good.
Yeah, it's one of those like sleeper titles, I think.
I don't know if it's so much a sleeper at this point. I think Nintendo fans have picked up that it's like a top-notch game. It's just that if you don't know anything about the Game Boy library, it's not going to be something on your radar. Like I believe it was made to be a sequel to the Donkey Kong arcade game. And then it just like goes off the rails and just becomes like this massive platformer.
Right. And we haven't had an entry in like the Mario versus Donkey Kong series in years. So, of course, no one's going to remember.
Mario versus Donkey Kong feels very different from the March of the Mini series, though.
Very true. Very true.
So as far as original Game Boy goes, Mario vs. Donkey Kong is like the top game I would like to see. The most important game for them to get is Tetris, though. But
yes, I think because the Game Boy Tetris game is probably the best made Tetris game.
So, yeah. And then I'm not familiar with the Mario and Luigi series,
which I still can't believe. Like, I know I've known you for years, but I always forget that you don't really know the Mario and Luigi series too well.
It's just that they're RPGs, man.
I know really you're not an RPG guy, but still. I mean, the Mario and Luigi series is one of the most popular versions of Mario. It's a lot like Paper Mario, you know, being an RPG, but it was built for handheld systems and it works really, really well on the Game Boy Advance. It was honestly one of the first games that I had on my Game Boy Advance. So I have a lot of fond memories of it because I played through it like 12 times. It's just a really funny RPG that just stars Mario and Luigi as they explore through another kingdom. The dialogue is really great. There are a lot of really fun characters. It kind of sheds some light on like inter-kingdom relationships between the Mushroom Kingdom and neighboring countries. Like it's a cool expansion of the Mario world, much like Paper Mario is. And it's a huge shame that series has kind of just been kicked to the side and that we haven't seen much of it lately. They did remake the game on the 3DS a few years ago, so it's possible that they're not 100% on board with releasing this on the Switch. It was included in the list of games from the leak, but who knows what Nintendo's thinking. I don't know if it sold too well on the 3DS, but
yeah,
anyway.
I think people weren't, if I remember right, people weren't too impressed with the 3DS remake.
Yeah, it was like a downgrade in a lot of ways. They like really? Adjusted a lot of the mechanics. So some of the puzzles felt weird. The battle system was slightly different. And they used the like latest 3DS, what was it, Mario and Luigi plus Paper Mario? I don't even remember the name of that game. So the visuals were kind of different, but in the same vibe. I don't know. I just know that a lot of people weren't too excited about it because the Game Boy Advance version is like perfect. I would love to see that come out on Switch. I think that there is an audience for it now on a lot of the new Nintendo fans with the Switch. And if they do release it on the NSO, maybe we'll finally get another good one. Though we did get a new Paper Mario and it wasn't that great. So
well, and the studio that made Mario & Luigi series is gone now.
Yeah, good point.
Another big Mario game that a lot of fans really like is Advance Tour, Mario Golf Advance Tour.
Yeah.
That's the one with the RPG mechanics, right?
I think so. I actually never played it, but I've seen some of it.
A Mario Golf game for one of the Game Boys that fans really like because there's a story mode to it. It's not, I haven't played the game. I've just heard about it and I believe it's already on here. And of course you got to put Mario Kart on here. I think it's good to have Super Circuit here, especially since you need a bunch of multiplayer games for the Switch.
And especially since the new Mario Kart expansion for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe has a lot of the Game Boy Advance stages going into it from what we can see. You know, they're remaking a bunch of old stuff. So I think it would be nice to have it more accessible so fans of the Mario Kart series can play through the old tracks and see how they differ and what changes they've made.
Yeah.
Though I will put out there that the DS Mario Kart is better than the Game Boy one or Game Boy Advance one.
I'll be honest, I'm not a huge fan of the Game Boy Mario Kart. It's a lot closer in design to the Super Nintendo Mario Kart.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Which is fine. It has its fans.
Just like pretty much any game Nintendo spits out except for the 3DS Paper Mario. I did also want to point out that there are quite a few fans of the like Super Mario Brothers Advance series where they released, Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, 3, and I think Yoshi's Island or Super Mario World. I can't remember if they did all five or not. They re-released those on the Game Boy Advance. And I know that I played the third game a ton when I had my Game Boy Advance. And that's kind of how I remember playing Super Mario Brothers 3. I don't know if Nintendo's interested in bringing those to the Nintendo Switch Online for Game Boy Advance simply because they have the original versions on the the NES and SNES libraries. But don't they have Super Mario Brothers All-Stars on the SNES one?
I don't remember.
If they do, then I could see them releasing them on the
It would be Game Boy a bit Advance. Awkward having like the remakes, but again, it doesn't cost Nintendo anything to put them on there.
No. And it's not like you're spending more money to play the originals or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, if anything, they want to get rid of the originals, just have people move on to the expansion plus.
Right, since it's highly likely the Game Boy Advance and Game Boy libraries will be on the expansion. So
what happens? This is going to be a bit of a tangent, but I'm going to laugh if they add in an additional like expansion plus tier and call it like batteries not included or something.
Oh my gosh, that'd be hilarious. Oh, I would never forgive them, but I could see them doing it.
I feel like people already shouldn't be forgiving them.
Oh, there are a lot of things that we shouldn't forgive Nintendo for, yet we do. So, oh, that'd be awful. If you want the Game Boy games, pay another $15 a month.
Okay. Oh. Well, we'll get to like Mother 3 in a bit, but I think some people, specifically me, would actually pay for it. So
if there was a compelling library, absolutely. Especially like
Mother
3.
I just need Mother 3.
Yeah. Well, at that point, you're only paying $15 for Mother 3. And then after you beat the game, you can just dump the subscription if you don't need to play it again. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, I'd be so mad at Nintendo. But I'd probably pay for it anyway, because that's just who I am. Anyway. Well, should we move on to Pokemon, or were there more Mario games?
There's a few more kind of Mario adjacent games. Wario, so like Wario Land 4.
Yeah.
And then also the WarioWare. WarioWare, I believe this was the first WarioWare game, if I remember right.
I think so.
It was either this one or the GameCube one.
I honestly don't remember.
But yeah, getting more WarioWare is great. I don't remember if it has multiplayer or not, but if it does, this is a great game. I don't think it did, though. I think you had to like pass the Game Boy to friends or something, if I remember right.
I don't remember. I don't think I ever played it.
It's been so long.
I mean, if I did play it, it was like on a bus on a trip to another state or something. I don't remember. And I guess on the topic of WarioWare, a bunch of the Wario Land games are also on the Game Boy consoles. So it might be nice to see those also make a return.
Yeah. Wario Land started on the Game Boy.
That's right.
I think all of them are on the Game Boy except for Shake It.
Right. Because I'm just thinking back on my Nintendo history. Wario Woods or something was the NES game, right?
Yeah.
And then after that, all of the Wario games were on the Game Boy and Game Boy Advance. And then they did, what was it? Was it Wario World that was on the GameCube?
Oh, I don't know what the GameCube
There was like a 3D platformer version of Wario that was on the GameCube. Anyway. But yeah, all of the Wario lands are on Game Boy and Game Boy Advance. So it'd be cool to see them return. I know there are a lot of Wario fans out there.
Yeah, Wario Land is a beloved niche series inside the Nintendo fandom. So it'd be really good to get those. Moving on to Pokemon, though. This is the juggernaut.
this is what will drive people to pay for that no batteries included expansion.
Oh, no.
On its own. Especially if they add home support so that you can yank the Pokemon off of these. Like, I know people that will buy it for sure if it's an additional cost.
So they could like pad out their library with 9 extra games by just separating Red, Blue, Yellow, Gold, Silver, Crystal, Sapphire, Ruby, and Emerald, right?
And I would love to play through all of them again.
Like, you have to separate them because they have version exclusives. I guess you could you have to just do all of them. Yeah.
Right, because Yellow is missing some Pokemon that you can't get. So is Crystal, and so are Emerald. So you have to have all three. Well, technically, you only need Red and Blue, Gold and Silver, and Sapphire and Ruby to get all of that particular generation's Pokemon. But, like, you can't just do Yellow, Crystal, and Emerald without modifying the encounter tables. So, and yeah. I don't see Game Freak doing that.
And Emerald is my favorite Pokemon game. So,
oh, it's so good. I'm actually playing through it again right now.
You inspired me so many. I play a lot of randomizers and Nuzlocke of Emerald. I probably play that game at least once, like every 6 months or so.
And that I was about to say, that's too much, Jordan. But then I'm like, no, it's not, because Emerald's really good. So, but anyway, I'd love to see those games, especially for the collector standpoint. One of the things that I've been kind of slowly working on is having a living decks of Pokemon that are from their source generation, which is harder than it sounds, because my current living decks, having one of every single Pokemon, is actually mostly from XY and Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby.
Yeah.
And even though, you know, Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire are Hoenn, I would like to have Pokemon from their original games. So I've been working on the Game Boy games a little bit, and also playing through Emerald again to try to complete that. And having these games available would just make that kind of stuff really easy to get. And I think that Game Freak could drum up some hype for a lot of old-timey fans if they released some of the events like they did with Crystal Version on the 3DS, where yeah. for like the first time ever in the US, you could get Celebi in Crystal. It was just baked into the game.
And they could do that with like Deoxys, Jirachi, Mew, and the other mythicals or cool Pokemon like that.
Yeah. I guess we also forgot Fire Red and Leaf Green.
Oh, yeah.
Which
but
I feel like you probably need, because they're a bit more playable than Red and Blue now. Red
plus
and Blue,
they have the Sevii Islands and more content.
Yeah, Red and Blue, I like them. I think they need to be added for historical reasons, but yes. They're not very well made.
That's an understatement.
I don't know how to put it nicely. They kind of suck, but there's a lot of nostalgia behind them.
Yes, absolutely. My only problem with Fire Red and Leaf Green is I'm not a fan of the MIDI instrumentation for the music.
Yeah.
The instruments that they chose, like the palette, is just awful. I'm like, why didn't you just stick with the Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald instrument library? Why did you change it?
So I'll be honest, whenever I go back to Kanto to play through Kanto, I typically just choose Red and Blue, but I think that's just because of nostalgia on my end. I personally would rather play through Red and Blue than through Fire Red and Leaf Green, even though I admit Fire Red and Leaf Green are the better games.
I would pick Yellow, because Yellow was the first Pokemon game that I actually owned myself, and I loved playing through that. But I did spend an insane number of hours in Fire Red and Leaf Green, because I was kind of addicted at that point. Young me got those games brand new, and man, I loved them, because I'd played Yellow so much. I was like, oh, this is a cooler way to play them, because I didn't have Red or Blue. So I do think that they should include them for the historical reasons. Anyway, I don't know. Plus, Fire Red and Leaf Green speedruns are actually really fun to watch, because it's much more about like strategy rather than like straight up RNG manipulation or memory corruption.
Yeah. Even the like the node or the glitchless run of Red and Blue, it's just who can get like Nidoran the fastest.
Who can get a good Nidoran the fastest? Yeah. And there are like steps that they can do, because the RNG is so deterministic that they can get like godlike Nidorans by just walking a certain pattern after resetting the console. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that game is broken.
We're not here to talk about speedrunning tactics in Pokemon.
Another game that would be a bit awkward to add, but I would like to see, is Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. This isn't the best Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, but it was the one that started the series, and it was on the Game Boy Advance. It was a split release, though, between, if I remember right, between the Game Boy Advance and the DS. I think it was Red Rescue Team that was on the Game Boy Advance.
I think you're right, because Blue Rescue Team was on a different console. And I remember my friends being confused about that. I never played them.
So it's a bit awkward in that half the other version of the game is on a different console and won't be able to be emulated. And it's also awkward in that they just remade the game for the Switch.
Yeah, so it might not come out. I don't know.
I would like to see it. It doesn't cost Nintendo anything, but it's definitely a lower priority Pokemon game.
Yep.
My personal favorite pick for the Game Boy would be the Pokemon trading card game. I think this game is definitely underrated. I don't hear a lot of people talk about this game, and this was the shiz back in the day. It was so good.
Yeah, I've heard amazing things about it, but I've never played it myself. So,
oh man, just having an adventure mode on a card game. I am a huge fan of card games. And then this one's entirely just based off of the original base sets of Pokemon. So you get to play Pokemon, the original Pokemon trading card game, without the bans, when everything is awful and terrible and broken. And it's so, it feels so good just playing four Professor Oaks into four Bills, drawing your entire deck and slamming a Charizard and just winning on turn one. But
yeah, that sounds kind of insane.
But
I mean, I am surprised that, you know, the Pokemon company didn't make more of the Pokemon trading card game type adventures.
I'm still surprised the Pokemon company hasn't put the Pokemon trading card game online on the Switch yet.
Yeah.
Like, for whatever reason, Nintendo doesn't want their console players to know that the Pokemon trading card game exists.
Which is so bizarre, because the trading card game is one of the biggest revenue streams for the Pokemon company.
Yeah.
You have people buying packs all the freaking time.
Yeah. But what's even more important than the trading card game would be Trading Card Game 2, because this game did not come out in America. It came out only in Japan. And so it would be really nice. This is one of those games that'd be really nice to get an official translation of. Really.
Yeah, it's kind of like how there are three Pokemon Stadium games on the N64 and only two of them made it to the US, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. I personally don't think this one, I don't have as much nostalgia for this one as I do for the first trading card game, but I would really like an official release that's in English for it.
I think that that would be a great way to get people to hop into the service too. I mean, we talked about this when the N64 service launched, right? Where Nintendo would honestly get a lot more people to buy these types of services if they did more of that work, where they released things that were unreleased, or they did translations that didn't exist.
Yeah. And this is like the perfect opportunity for that kind of stuff. Like, give, it's basically like you need to give something new, because if it's just what we already have available to us, why am I paying extra money for this?
Exactly. That's exactly why. And Pokemon is a good way to go about that.
Yeah.
Pokemon's huge. Like, come on.
And the Pokemon trading card game is doing really well right now. People really like the base set, and it's basically impossible to get base set packs. So just being able to have that little bit of like fantasy of playing the original game again, the original base sets, it's great. Pokemon trading card game is another game that I actually go back to and play from time to time.
I haven't actually played it, and I'm a huge Pokemon fan. Like, come on. I think I have more hours in Pokemon than you do, but
it's also great because when you play against computers and stuff, they can't like concede early when you start playing energy destruction against them.
Oh, but that's anyway. Awesome. So you just make them suffer until they're actually dead.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I know that's your play style. When we played like Magic the Gathering together for a while, like, that's how you play that.
I am
game
a
too.
Huge fan of land destruction and Magic the Gathering. It's a bit of a problem. I've had people at card stores get really angry with me. Largely, like, people play like five color value decks or whatever, and then like on turn one, I just drop a Mana Crypt into a Blood Moon and then just say go.
Yeah, you like card games a little too much, I think. Just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, I've won some big tournaments, but anyway, moving on.
Yeah, moving on. One of the other big series that we'd love to see that had a lot of games on the Game Boy Advance mostly is the Fire Emblem series.
Yeah, and this one has another like really important game in the series I would really like to see an official release for, and that's The Binding Blade, which is Roy's game, which did not ever come out in America. Despite Roy being in Smash Bros., like, there are a lot of people who are interested in Fire Emblem and don't really understand why, like, the characters they see in Smash Bros. Aren't in the games now, and, like, they have no access to Roy's game. Roy is the only Fire Emblem or Smash Bros. Fire Emblem character that you can't really play in official capacity in the States.
Exactly. Like, Roy's our boy, but who is he really? We don't know. We haven't played the game.
Now, honestly, it's not the best Fire Emblem game, but this is, I think it would be a really important release. And
I agree.
It would get a lot of people to actually play the service because it's a new game effectively at that point.
Right. And like the Fire Emblem Game Boy Advance games are really solidly put together, too.
Yeah.
They have a really great story.
Fire Emblem 7 is one of the best Fire Emblem games ever made.
Right. Isn't that the remake for Marth's game? Or am I
No, that one's wrong? Lin's game.
Oh, that's Lin's game. Yeah.
Which was confusing because it is directly tied to Roy's game.
Yeah.
Because Eliwood is Roy's father.
And he's one of the main cast, right?
Yeah.
The Fire Emblem series can be pretty confusing, you know, because every single game has a different set of characters. So you're just like, wait a minute, was that this game or that game?
But Sacred Stones is the game that like that Nintendo likes to put out. I believe it was in the Ambassador program of the Game Boy Advance games. I think it's my least favorite.
Yeah, I've heard the same from a lot of fans, too.
That one's based off of the twins, right?
I think so.
It's the one I played the least of. So
same.
It just feels like a strict downgrade of Fire Emblem 7, but whatever.
Right. And Lin is one of the best Fire Emblem characters, period. And it would be so good to have her game. And it is still such a shame that she never made it into Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still upset about that.
As far as, well, we don't need more Fire Emblem characters, but I do think I'd rather have Lin than Corrin.
I agree. And I really liked that Fire Emblem game. What was it? Echoes? Not Fates. Echoes. Excuse me. Fates. I really liked those games. I played a lot of them, but I would much rather have Lin than Corrin. Absolutely.
Now, there's been a lot of rumors in the grapevine that Roy's game is getting a remake soon.
I mean, I'd be down for that.
So we might just get Sacred Stones and Fire Emblem 7, which would be fine. But it would be nice to get the original release out in, translated for English.
I agree with that.
I'll be angry if Nintendo releases it for Japan and not for America.
That kind of brings me to a tangent. We didn't put these games on here, but it's kind of in the same vein as Fire Emblem. You have the Advance Wars games that were on the Game Boy Advance, right?
Right.
And those are getting full remakes in like who knows how long.
Yeah, they're remaking all of them, I believe.
Yeah.
And they're getting delayed because of political reasons.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes me wonder if that'll be on the service or not.
I don't think they'll be here, especially since the remakes are so close to being released.
Right. So I don't know. If they aren't releasing the Advance Wars games, then they probably won't release Binding Blade if that is getting a remake. So we'll see.
There's a few Fire Emblem games that people keep speculating on that's getting the remake, but Binding Blade is up there.
Right, especially since he's in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
So, anyway, lots of cool Fire Emblem stuff out there. And if we ever get a Game Boy, or not a Game Boy, excuse me, GameCube emulation service from Nintendo, they better freaking put Ike's game on there.
That game is so expensive now.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I bought, just like another tangent, but when I was a kid, I bought Path of Radiance for $5 at Game Crazy because I was just sifting through the bargain bin and I picked it up like, oh, cool. Marth and Roy's game. And I almost returned it because I was angry that Marth and Roy weren't in it.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Now the game's what? $200? It's a huge collector's item because no one bought it. And because no one bought it, it got thrown in the bargain bin. And because it was the bargain bin, I picked it up for dirt cheap.
I wish more Nintendo games were like that. You know, the really good ones just don't sell. So they're in the bargain bin. Nope. They're locked at $60 even 6 years later.
And Nintendo learned their lesson from then.
Yep.
Well, back in the day, Fire Emblem games used to be considered a safe investment if you were trying to speculate on games because it was a niche, but it was a niche group of people that are really passionate about their games, and people who always enter into the franchise always want to go back and play the old ones.
Yeah, because the old ones are really good.
And there's just not a lot in print.
Nope. So it would be really good to see Fire Emblem on these emulation services. So anyway, beyond Fire Emblem, we've also got some really good Kirby games that were released on the Game Boy Advance. And the Kirby games are actually some of the ones that I spent more of my time playing along with Pokemon rather than Fire Emblem and Mario and stuff. The biggest one for me is Kirby Nightmare in Dreamland. Nightmare in Dreamland is actually a remake of, I think, Kirby's Adventure for the NES.
Yeah, that one. So that's Kirby's Adventure is actually my favorite Kirby game.
Yeah, it's a really good game.
I actually haven't played the remake, though.
You haven't played Nightmare in Dreamland?
No, I haven't.
Nightmare in Dreamland is so good.
So I'll have to see like how much different it is from the original.
Well, one of the big differences is that it adds copy abilities.
Oh,
the original doesn't have copy abilities.
It does not, yeah.
So it's already different in that regard.
Yeah, that changes so much, actually.
Wait, what?
That changes so much, actually. Wow.
Yeah, it makes it more fun. It's the maps are the same tile for tile from what I remember, because I remember buying Kirby's Adventure on like the Wii VC. And I was like, wow, this is just Nightmare in Dreamland, but worse because it doesn't have the copy abilities. They also changed some of the mini games that you can play for extra lives and stuff in the overworld. Well, I say overworld and it's more like a level selector that Kirby can just wander through. They also added like a really cool like new game plus mode where Kirby has half the health that he normally has. So it makes it quite a bit harder, especially against some of the good boss fights. And then once you beat all of those 100%, you can unlock Meta Knight's Revenge. Or is it called Meta Knight's Revenge? Or am I, is that the...
You're thinking of Superstar at this point, aren't you? Yeah.
No, but there is a Meta Knight mode. It's Meta Knight something. It's not Revenge, I guess. But you can play as Meta Knight through the whole game with no copy abilities, but you have like Meta Knight's overpowered sword and stuff. But it doesn't save any of your progress. So it's like speed run through the game as Meta Knight to get to the end. And it's really good. Anyway, I spent way too many hours in Kirby's Nightmare in Dreamland. 100%ed it multiple times, found all the secrets myself because I got it before I really had a good knowledge of how to find like game facts or whatever. And it's just a really solid Kirby game, especially since it's the remake of Kirby's Adventure with copy abilities.
Yeah. There was also a bunch of like Dreamland games on the Game Boy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I loved those too, very much so. But I only really played them with my friend at his house. What I recall most about the Game Boy ones were like the animal companions that Kirby had.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see them on the Game Boy service. Oh, I love Kirby games. I just think that they're really kind of calming and fun to play through.
We still need to do our Kirby podcast episode.
Yeah, we do. We haven't done one. Well, we'll make sure to queue that up sometime soon, as long as we don't get new news about Game Boy stuff, I guess, like we did this last couple of weeks. But
the other big game I would like to see is Kirby Tilt and Tumble, just to see like if they actually did get like tilt controls in place.
Right. Because that was found in the leak, was that the emulator somewhat supports it. So yeah,
that one is going to actually require a bit of work, unlike most of these other games.
Right, especially since they'd have to tie into the like Joy-Con API for the HD motion sensing or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. And then one of the other big ones that I really loved playing on the Game Boy Advance was Kirby and the Amazing Mirror, which that one was in the list of files. Though it was likely included in the leak because it is based around multiplayer. You can actually connect four Game Boy Advances together and play through the adventure with four people, which is really cool.
I think this is a really safe pick for what's going to show up on this service.
I agree, because it hits that multiplayer mode, but also has a really solid story. It's also like a lot of longtime Kirby fans favorite because it's a Metroidvania Kirby game. So it's very cool.
Yeah, that's where like the Great Cave Offensive comes from, right?
The Cave Offensive? Yeah.
The Great Cave Offensive, yeah.
I think so.
It's been a long time since I played that game.
I'm excited to see if Kirby's Amazing Mirror comes. I think it's a really solid Kirby game and it fits perfectly. On top of some of these Kirby games, another series to talk about are like some of the Sonic games that were exclusive to the Game Boy Advance at the very least. This was actually my introduction to Sonic, well, beyond playing the original Sega games or Sega Genesis games at a friend's house. We have Sonic Advance 1, 2, and 3 that all came out on the Game Boy Advance. And those were actually really fun Sonic games. I don't know if you've ever played them, Jordan.
Yeah, a lot of people really like them. I'm not the biggest fan of them. It might have just been like the limitations of the Game Boy. But coming from like the Genesis down to the Advance games, it just didn't feel like the Game Boy tracked Sonic too well. But
yeah, he does kind of go off screen sometimes if he's going too fast.
Yeah, and it's pretty zoomed in too compared to like other games.
Yeah, there's not a lot of screen real estate to see him. But it was really like my adventure into Sonic. So I hold them in a soft spot. I don't think they're the best Sonic games.
Most people really like them. Like they're definitely up there on like the quality. It's just I personally have not been the biggest fan of them.
I still think they'd be cool if, you know, Sega was like, yeah, sure, you can include them.
Yeah. As far as third-party games go, these are definitely at the top of the list, along with some of the Mega Man games. But
right, especially since we have the Sega Genesis NSO, right?
Yeah. And so people can play through most of the 2D franchise, and Sonic Mania is also on Switch. So,
yeah, I think Sega would be very open to have them all on there. So.
Yeah, and with like the new Sonic Collection coming out soon, pretty much every important 2D Sonic game will be available on the Switch in some capacity if the advanced games do come this way. We'll just be missing Rush, and we will not be missing Sonic 4.
We will not miss that game at all.
So then it comes to the big one. Will Mother 3 finally get a Western release?
Can I tell you a short story about some news that actually came out like this morning or yesterday?
Sure.
So Reggie Fils-Aimé published a new book. I don't know if you heard about it.
I have not.
It's basically like a lot of his stories and anecdotes about like when he was in the games industry and some of his philosophy behind it. There are a lot of like really cool finds in there, but one thing that I saw some people were pointing out was Reggie actually did want Mother 3 to come out during the Wii U and 3DS era to the West.
Oh, really?
I don't know all of the specifics. I haven't read that book myself, but I saw that was one of the headlines. So like, I mean, if Reggie wanted it, but couldn't for whatever reason, maybe our chances are getting better and better as we go along. I don't know.
I would imagine our chances are getting slimmer, right?
Good point.
I don't know. Like, it's such a big title now at this point in the Nintendo fandom. Like, Nintendo fans just will not let this game go. Nintendo has to eventually release it, right?
Well, I sure hope so.
And, like, I was joking earlier, but, like, if you want the like paid subscription to feel like it has some value, you need to provide new content. And so like there's a bunch of opportunity with games that never released in the West, but the big juggernaut, the big crown jewel would be Mother 3. Like if you get Mother 3 out there, you wouldn't just satisfy the people who already are paying actively for the service. You would actually increase the amount of subscribers.
Exactly.
I think so at least. Like this game is such a like a big like white whale for Nintendo fans.
It is something that we have wanted since it was released in Japan.
Yeah, it's one of
it's a follow up to the cult classic Earthbound that so many people loved, that has an awesome story, and it kind of suffers the same problem as Roy did, you know, with the Game Boy Advance game never really getting an official West release because Lucas is in Smash Brothers.
Yeah. And like Sakurai has gone on to say that if he knew that Lucas or that Mother 3 wasn't going to come out to the West, he wouldn't have put Lucas in Smash Brothers, which I imagine is the reason why he took Lucas out of Smash 4. But then fans really wanted Lucas, so they made him a DLC character.
Right. And I mean, I really love Lucas. Don't get me wrong. He's one of my favorite characters to play in Smash. I love freezing people. You know that about me.
Yeah.
But just having Mother 3 would just be so wonderful. There are a lot of challenges with Mother 3 that fans have kind of pointed out over the years.
This one wouldn't be just a fan translation, or not a fan translation, but an English Western translation, but they would probably have to edit out at least one specific thing, which I think could be easily edited out. It goes to a black screen anyway. But the way Lucas gets his powers is not the best thing.
Yeah, no, it's not.
So they do need to change that. And it would be interesting to see how like Nintendo fans would react. Like, would people be upset that there's censorship or whatever? Or would they just be like, hey, we finally got Mother 3. Like, this is fine.
Right. There are a couple of other things that I've seen pointed out. Like, some of the music is really...
Oh, yeah.
Basically like plagiarized from other works of music.
when you fight bats, it just straight up plays the Batman theme.
Yeah.
which is harder to like replace than you would think, because the music is actually a main feature of the game, and that the battle system is entirely dependent on like playing to the beat of the music. So if you change the music,
right, it's actually a rhythm game.
Yeah, it's a rhythm game. And so if you change the music, it just You're playing with fire.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one challenge. We did talk about that thing about Lucas getting his powers. There are a couple of more like adult-based themes that are tackled in the game a little bit, which might be difficult.
You can keep them in.
I think you
like,
can
if it's
too.
Really a big problem, just put like a warning message when you boot up the game.
Yeah. I don't know. It's also kind of tricky for the NSO stuff. Like, can kid accounts access games that are rated higher or something? I don't know what Nintendo's system has been, because pretty much everything they've put on has been like E for everyone. So
have they not put any T games on yet?
Maybe they
have.
Was
there nothing on the N64 that was rated T? Because that would be the only one that could have been possibly T, right? Because T didn't exist on the Super Nintendo or the NES or the Genesis.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they have some of the power in place already to restrict kid accounts. I don't know.
I don't even know if you need to restrict it for Mother 3. Like, it's fine. Like, the kid's not going to understand anything.
Yeah. I don't know. But that might be a concern that Nintendo at least has. I don't know. That's just kind of some of the stuff that I've seen online. I think it's not really a huge deal and that it would be fine. But you never
have
know.
Have an expansion for the Switch Online service for just Mother 3.
They could pull that off, or they could just release it as its own title.
Yeah, that would probably be the easiest thing to do, especially since it would require work. Like, honestly, man, at this point, just make a remake of this game.
Because the remake, they could address all of these problems with the music. They could improve the graphical style. I mean, the graphical style is actually really charming in the 2D sprites. I really quite like that. But like, they really could remake it. They really, really should, honestly.
Yeah, it's surprising that would fix everything. Gotten any Earthbound or Mother series remakes at all.
Yeah, remakes, no. I mean, Earthbound is on the SNES NSO, but it's the original.
Like, they translated the original Earthbound Beginnings, but that they translated that back in the on the Wii U.
They actually had that translation before the Wii U. I remember reading an article that it was done back in the NES era. They just never printed it.
Yeah, of course. Oh, Nintendo.
Nintendo history is really fascinating, folks that are listening. They've made a lot of really interesting choices over the years. So
I would really like to see Mother 3. I think if you go the extra mile to get it to work, it would definitely like it would provide like the value needed for the expansion pack cost.
I agree. Absolutely. I don't know. And at this point, like, the fan translation has literally said, like, hey, Nintendo, if you want to use this in any capacity, go ahead. It's your game.
Yeah.
I don't think that they would take the whole thing as is written. They would probably make quite a few changes, but at least they have a starting point. I don't know.
Also, what's interesting about, so like, we're getting into like emulation on PC because it's the only way to play Mother 3 right now in English, but It would be really nice to have like a real emulator that actually like functions like an original Game Boy, because all the emulators on PC, you have to mess around with like a lot of settings to get the rhythm game stuff to actually function on Mother 3. You can do it, but it is like a pain.
Yeah, I think I actually played Mother 3 on my Wii with like an emulator for the Game Boy Advance on the Wii. And sometimes it was weird.
Yeah, like there's a bit of like latency issues with a lot of the Game Boy Advance emulators, which is fine when you're not playing a rhythm game.
Right. But when you need to actually hit things at the right time, because, you know, you deal more damage when you hit it at the right time. Plus, you can extend the combo to deal a lot more damage in the long run. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, given what we know about these emulators, it seems like they're really going for as accurate as possible. So if Mother 3 is on the list and you know, they know it's a high priority, then I'm sure they've been working to make it as accurate as possible for Mother 3. They're not going to pull an Ocarina of Time on the N64 NSO where it works, but all of the shading and textures are wrong or loading incorrectly.
Mother 3 would be a big enough news that this could be like one of the big headliners of an E3 Direct.
Honestly, yeah.
And since like this is coming up pretty close, like maybe
we'll have to wait and see. I mean, we might as well mark this on our E3 prediction episode.
I don't think it's coming. I'm not going to predict it's happening. I just really want it to happen. I've been a fan of Nintendo long enough that all my hopes and dreams have been crushed.
Yeah, don't keep too many hopes. Yours more than most, to be honest. There are a lot of things that you in particular have wanted over the years that has just never happened.
Well, yeah. And maybe it's just that I need to wait 20 years for my wishes, because I eventually did get Dread.
Yeah, true.
I eventually did get Ridley in Smash Bros. Everything just takes 20 years. So I guess 2026 is when Mother 3 is coming out. You heard it here first.
20 years after. So what you need to start doing is when we do our prediction episodes, you need to start making predictions for 2040 something.
No, what I need to do is go back to 2002 and be like, what did Jordan want in 2002?
Yeah. That's what we should totally do. Oh, I'm going to have to find some of our archives of the old podcast we used to do just to like start keeping track of old stuff that you wanted.
I think that about wraps it up for what we want from the Game Boy. We want a lot of games more than what I like would have thought, because the Game Boy is not really a console I dig out too often, aside from like Pokemon Trading Card Game and Emerald and Mother 3. Mother 3 is another big one I play a lot of.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I have a lot of fond memories with the Game Boy and Advance in particular, but I don't go out of my way to dig my Game Boy Advance SP out of my closet and pop something in all the time. So it'd be really nice to have it on Switch, make it much more accessible, make these older games and really well-made games available to the newer fans. Because we've talked about it before, the Nintendo Switch has brought in not just like the new generation of like kids and teenagers that have never played Nintendo games before, but there are also like adults and young adults that have never had a Nintendo console that got a Switch for whatever reason. And just having access to all of that is just good for everyone in general, in my opinion. So
yeah. I will say, I'm worried of looking at the feature list. There's a very, very important feature I'm not seeing. We need a fast forward button.
Yeah. Though I don't think any of the other emulators on Switch have
fast forward buttons. But like Game Boy games really need. Playing Pokemon with a fast forward button is just so much nicer.
At least they could patch the ROMs so that you have instant text or something. Like,
yeah. The Game Boy just felt like everything was so slow.
I don't know why they ever made the Game Boy tech so slow.
Yeah.
Across the board. I can't think of a single Game Boy Advance game that has a lot of text that has really fast text.
Yeah. So it'd just be really nice. But I don't think they'll do it.
Probably not.
That's a feature for most of the PC emulators.
Yep. Well, is there anything else to add about this stuff here, Jordan? Or
I think I'm good.
All right. I think I'm good, too. We talked a lot about Game Boy and Game Boy Advance emulation on the Switch, and we hope that it comes soon. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Nintendo Fusion podcast. Please be sure to give us a review if you enjoyed the podcast on whatever podcast app you're using. That helps folks find us. You can also leave a like and a comment on the YouTube upload of this video as well. You can find the podcast at anchor.fm/Nintendo Fusion or on our YouTube channel here as well. The links are all included in the description. We also have a Discord server where you can come and chat with us about Nintendo stuff. You know, if you have some favorite Game Boy Advance games, we'd love to hear about them and why you think they would be a good fit on the NSO expansion or whatever they release it on. Again, that's nintendofusion.com/discord to get an invite to our Discord server. And with all that said, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Nintendo Fusion podcast, and we will catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
See ya.